Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. It's noon here in the Twin Cities, and I'm Ryan Henning with the latest edition of Ryan's Compass Radio, and I'm here with a special guest host, Anthony Dunkel. You might know him from Twitter, and if you follow all my sites, then he's also the other meteorologist at VictoriaWeather.com. And we're not going to talk about the weather today, except to comment on the fact that it's cold. Because it's football season, so maybe play some outdoor hockey next year. But we're here to talk about sports. Anthony, or Dunkel, as his friends and colleagues call him, is he's kind of a gambling expert and also a Chicago sports expert. So
I lost so much money this year. So
yeah, today's episode is going to be kind of Chicago themed as well as maybe a little bit gambling themed. We're going to be live on Rhino and Comfort, or excuse me, on Blog Talk Radio for the first half hour. So if you wanted to call us, it would be 347-857-3653. But I don't expect you to take your lunch break to call us to an internet radio show. But if we don't cover everything after the first half hour, the podcast will be posted probably sometime tomorrow, and you'll be able to listen to it there. But for this afternoon, Dunkel, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good.
Yeah.
My first time, so behind the internet.
Well, the internet's not the right place for that.
Yeah, I think it's definitely respectful.
Yeah. So the episode last week, we spent quite a bit of time talking about football. I think both the games went the way Kyle and I expected. The Super Bowl is going to be Seattle versus New England. Spent most of the time talking about, well, the quarterback kind of played quite a significant role in the NFC Championship game, throwing way too many interceptions. But I think ultimately it came down to the defense and, you know, the big guys up front, which is why Indianapolis got throttled. Had nothing to do with underinflated football, just because New England was a lot better all the way around. So that was that week, and then it's about 9 days now, we'll have the final football game of the season between the Packers and not the Packers, and Patriots.
I don't think it should have been the Packers, but they played for about 3.5 quarters.
Right, I think a lot of definitely think it should have been the Packers. I guess we'll just jump right into it. What do you feel is we should be looking for in the Super Bowl 9 days?
Well, most evident of the Seattle Green Bay game, Seattle season, pretty much kept them in the game for being a complete blowout. But the halftime was, you know, close to 16-0, Seattle's darn thing.
That's right over.
Yeah. With a streak of efficiency. But the Packers was the first having the Green Bay had the ball by Seattle like 35 times in the first half, and then down one touchdown. And, you know, part of the results of Green Bay, maybe touch the yard line.
Yeah.
I don't for it.
Even if they had a 50% success rate and they had scored one touchdown and they got no points from another, I think that's the end of about a point. No, I mean, the risk is worth it.
Yeah. And considering also the team ended that, it's a different thing. This being back to playing this year, Seattle's going to, you know, defend their title.
Right.
So, you can see that Seattle's defense. You know, one of the things that you're not, but also didn't really affect them at all last week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe a couple of lower scrambles, but you know, probably for dark. But
sure.
You can see that they have defense definitely up to the half of one of the things in the league offense, Tom Brady, all the stuff he's in the So, put that in my mind that they have to do that. They should probably do any better than they did last week, because they can't do much for that.
Well,
so I think it's going to be, probably another close one. I want to say Seattle probably is another battle, but then another really close game.
I really like that this game is the two top teams, and it's not only the top teams this year, but probably the best game from the 2000s, and then the best team over the last 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
From the NFC. So it's like a clash of titans. Exactly the teams that deserve to be there, which is nice. I think
yeah.
It's fun to have a wild card get there once every once in a while, but it's also really nice to be great and get rewarded. And the two, you know, top teams really haven't faced off in a while. But I mean, like, Denver just came on when Manning went over there, but like New England's been good for so long.
Oh, yeah.
And then Seattle's probably gonna be good if they maintain the defense for 4 or 5 years as well. So it's kinda cool to see the changing of the guard, so to speak.
Yeah.
So I think it's gonna be a classic game. So what's the line right now?
Right here, it's in the New England by a point. When it first opened, New England was like 2.5 point underdog. But then, considering the manner in which Seattle kind of fairly eked into the championship game on the way, you know, kind of took care of business against the Bulls, everybody started really going. The game was pretty heavy. They're kind of been pretty steady at about 5 plus right now.
Do you play New England manhandled Indianapolis? Maybe playing too much of a role in their line against Seattle? That's it. I mean, I'm a big Colts fan. I'm pretty sure that Indianapolis is not really as good as Seattle.
Yeah, I think that did, you know, play a lot into that. They're like, oh, okay, the team made in there, but in their teeth, and probably got a game lucky.
Yeah,
the team blew away their, you know, their things. They're right. Like, okay, well, we're taking this to put on the health performance to start, you know, dropping money on that. I just think Packer a lot is due to the Green Bay public because, I mean, what's up with that? Like, Seattle might have to use it. They pretty much know what they're doing.
Right.
And then when they saw, like, 70% like, oh, this is New England, just turned off. They're like, oh, well, I guess it's going to start going this way now.
Yeah. I mean, I'm of the opinion that Seattle might be a little bit better team. And I've been picking New England to win pretty much all season just because I feel like this is going to be their last hurrah. So they're going to sell out for it. And I don't think New England, I mean, they could perhaps not even be a playoff team this year, but I think if they're going to win this time around, I just don't think it's going to be as good a. What am I trying to say? It's not going to be as good a game for New England.
That would be extremely impressive to block up in Seattle. And
right. Right. But you know, I don't think Seattle is going to be as bad as they were for 3 quarters.
Yeah.
Green Bay.
And then we had about 14 in trail. 5. Something like that. It's a little bit of an outlier to have that happen. So just one of them had 2 games in a row, especially with someone that's lost.
Right. Right. And what was Seattle's turnover differential? Oh, yes.
I think it was -3.
Minus. Yeah, and how often does a -3 turnover differential actually come out and win?
The second or third time left, that -3 turnover. Still won. I can't remember how much off it was, but it was like a few dozen. Definitely a rare occurrence for
it
to that to happen.
I posted in the link this morning something about the prop bet.
Okay.
Is there anything that you are excited about the prop bet?
Normally, definitely just there. Look at the length of the next line.
Yeah. And I think if the over-under is like 159, it would be a 3-game of the draw.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, 3-game of the draw is going to be staying here.
That's the thing.
Let it go. Yeah, so if you've got kids, you know.
Maybe that's why I couldn't figure it out yet.
Yeah. I don't know. I think she's, I don't know. Maybe a little more theatrical because I have a theater background. And, right. Right. So, I think it's roll over.
I can drag it out.
Yeah. Yeah. And I saw because they started tracking it, the longest and the shortest, you know, who. The artist for them at the longest shortest. The longest is Alicia Keys. Shortest is Billy Hill.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's you learned something by listening to Rhino on Compass Radio so far today. Do you have any other thoughts on the Super Bowl that you wanted to touch on or
I don't know, there's one last betting factor I figured out that six last Super Bowls, the six out of the last seven Super Bowls, the underdog actually won. The only kind of favorite one was like Green Bay at Pittsburgh a few years ago. So I were a 3-point favorite. That's it. But otherwise, maybe that's a good thing for Seattle that they're now a 1-point underdog.
I think it's only happened about one time recently where the number one team has made it. So that's kind of fucking a trend in itself. So
yeah, I think it was four or seven last year. Yeah, then before that.
I thought Denver might have said it. But I don't know. Hold on, we've got the internet right here.
Easy football. No, Super Bowl. And then before that, you know, we just kind of had the stream with the wild card season that is faded this earlier. Like that. So it's nice to see the the top teams duking it out.
Right.
Yeah. And the Lions settled with minus one because it was that future poll that finished the best one. It was a 1-point favorite. And it was a Super Bowl 15, 49ers, Cincy, and then a Super Bowl 7 went to Dolphins finished their perfect season. So it's kind of weird that one of the top close to either the 85 Bears or 70 Dolphins are used to perfect great season and go to Super Bowl favorite. And then one of the 14-7 that one. So.
Hold on, I'm getting close to finding out because it didn't tell us anything about the playoffs. Yeah, they were both number one seeds. You nailed it. And I am just the goofball.
I remember.
I like it, but I'm right, too. And New England was the 2 seed, and Seattle beat number 5 seed San Francisco. So, yeah, 1-1 last year.
Dude,
a lot
of turkeys are picking up their slack now.
Some of
the
turkeys
just run right through it.
Yeah, maybe. Well, all right. So since we're on the topic, we'll transition to Chicago area sports quickly. The Bears just hired a new coach.
Clean house.
Blow everything up. What did you think of the Mark Trestman era, and what did you think of John Fox?
Well, Mark Trestman era really didn't go very well. the first year, they went 7-8 off of the last game. But it seemed like, and maybe the NFL is supposed to be much from his part that makes those people change. Some people know he came up from CFL, and there he did screen well up there. So, I guess, maybe it's good to figure out that spot for kind of going that route. But just it seemed like the players just didn't tie into his system or whatever was going to do, because this year became a complete train wreck.
Yeah.
Week after week, and early, and it just seems like he has the personality to kind of command it fast in there. It just kind of away from him, and he didn't know how to handle it. He's kind of spiraling out of control, but the offense not performing. People getting injured on defense, which, well, good for the most part, new defensive coordinator, has come over from San Francisco, and we know that they've been.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Dealing with injury there, too.
Yeah, doing the past season, they lost injury. And there, they still did it.
It began as the championship game last year. With Navarro Bowman or something, maybe. He had the ball, and then he hyperextended his knee. They dropped it because he was such pain. I think that was Navarro Bowman. That's kind of a benefit of Harbaugh going back to college.
Yeah,
exactly.
down 5 feet. Very well respected. There, I mean, there have been a lot of players in the NFL. And so he's, like I said just earlier, so I think he really commands, I guess, the respect of the players in there. Whereas I think John Fox easily passed to that in there. So I think that, you know, that mindset and locker would be a big boost to team next year.
And he's a guy that thinks he's different for his guys. A lot of people, I think, instead. Fox got the Broncos to the Super Bowl, but Delta I take Banner. Well, Tony Dungy only did that once, and people seem to think he's the previous coach. In Carolina, he had Jake DeLome, and he brought Jake DeLome to the Super Bowl, and he got the break in other years. So I think it's not necessarily about a quarterback, which is good, because it's probably fair for the Bears, too.
Yeah, well,
it's probably fun. I'm sure as a lot of people do, I just know a lot of Bears fans, and you're included, that you're just so excited when Jay Cutler got there. So Bears haven't had a consistent quarterback in their entire franchise history. Maybe since Jim McMahon. That's a really low bar if you're saying Jim McMahon was your best quarterback since the 60s.
Yeah.
And we didn't bring Cutler to Chicago. Chicago just invaded Cutler, and now Cutler is pretty underwhelming. So do you think Cutler needs to go, or are you just, do you think he can find his old verb, or do you think this is what happens to quarterback in Chicago?
It's just something about Chicago that has been no left for anybody that shows up. I mean, everybody was talking about like his arm strength, and like you'll see in games where brought a pass into and he pulled that off there. He said it's just maybe have the maturity to, maybe take guidance into some of the things that he's just, messing up on. And, maybe this coach will be the person that can, get things under control. Because I still think he'll be playing this year.
Yeah.
For the Bears. But, considering we have a 7th, draft pick or something like that. Other than we go defense, I wouldn't completely rule it out that they might go for, in the draft. At this point, maybe a couple years down the road for fulfillment or stuff like that. But, I mean, I don't see them, getting rid of color, especially since they're Dale.
Well,
it's funny, but it's also not very necessary.
Jimmy Glossop, baby.
That worked for, one game.
It didn't really even work in the day. He was still somehow drafted the second round, and the Panthers came off on him after one season.
Yeah.
What Cam did. But, I don't like Jimmy Glossop. And I think it would be hilarious if he started, because he would be such an epic failure that I would be able to laugh at him.
Yeah.
And I would enjoy that.
Starter now, or the game that he's played in
he's only been involved in one victory. It's better than Dan Orlovsky. He started his career 0-16, and then he went to Indianapolis midway through their 2-14 season. And so he was 0-20 for his first 20 games, and then he finally won two. He's the best quarterback of Colts had that year. So if you go season to season with best quarterback, it was Manning for 15 years, for about two for one, and then
you could just have to get a chance.
Well, I mean, the guy with Lopsky, he's got significantly better. How bad Curtis Painter is. That was the problem.
Oh, he's got a lot of Curtis Painter.
Yeah, beautiful blonde hair. Yeah, that was something. So, on the topic of Chicago sports, I just noticed something that passed by on Twitter while we were talking that the Cubs reached an agreement with Victor Fowler to avoid arbitration. They just traded Kyle Ziant for the half.
Okay. Yeah, pretty easy.
Right. Arbitration policy. Yeah.
So, that's right. pretty much right when everybody's feedback. So it's good to see how we got that.
Right. Right. I didn't want to dwell too long up there. It's strange to say, but because they're much more promising than other teams in the Chicago area right now. Do you think they are ready to make the splash this year, or are they another year to go out?
I would probably say that this year they'll be competitive this year. And well under 500 the last 3 or 4 seasons.
Right.
But I think this year, I think it'll take them 1 year to probably get to 500 before competitive in there, and then next year will probably be more of a serious run at the title
right.
in there, especially with all the young people that they're bringing up this year. From that came up last year, and now this will be their first full season fully coming up probably in May. A lot of people think that you could start the season.
Yeah. Okay, they just cleared some room. Okay, they doubled out so they have to part of the power up there.
Exactly. Which, the Cubs did they signed them just before the football season, just like a waiver wire in there. And so that was pretty, deep signing. And he did deep the Cubs. Good utility person all field. But then be able to basically flip someone and then a Dan Straley who didn't really seriously make the MLB roster stuff this year. Let's be able to flip both you around Fowler who's gonna be a serious lead off hitter for stuff most likely. But actually I think probably the best offensive signing for the Cubs this year. Was it last season? Fowler was had a on base percentage of 38%.
Yeah,
38. Yeah, and sub center fielders as a whole were dead last in the major league.
Yeah, so it's definitely a position.
So there you go. Good upgrade.
I think I heard that when he was up with nobody out, nobody on, lead out situation.
Yeah.
He was a 400 OBP guy.
Yeah.
Which is exactly what he's seen, especially a team with, like Anthony Rizzo or whomever batting behind him. That's exactly what she wants. So I think that was, I mean, CLS being found a need in it still, but I think that was a pretty good move.
Yeah. Last season, when he batted, first he was like 271 batting average, second was 274, and then when it blew to like a penalty on or out, he batted third, well, there's usually somebody has to be on or out. But he only batted 236 in the third spot last year.
Probably because if you've got two outs, maybe you're not taunting it. But if you're a speedy guy with Fowler, that could be a way to get on, or you're trying to, get it towards one field rather than just to take what the
right. Right. Yeah, too hard to be fresh.
Mm-hmm.
He definitely ran fourth and spiked out the 3-1-1. So if he let off the second inning, he did batting every something that went up over 100 points.
So. So basically, Victor Fowler is a good guy in the leadoff position. I guess random aside, it appears that Marlon is not sure.
All right, so,
$2 million a year. And then also, it sounds like Jonathan Papelbon just got traded to the Brewers. The Brewers, for some reason, they just really like their closers. They had, and they're like top end closers that you wouldn't think would voluntarily go to Milwaukee. they had K-Rod for a few years, and Francisco Cordero for a while, and now Jonathan Papelbon. Sure.
All right.
After Derek Turnbo exploded 10 years ago, I think they have decided that they don't want to. Who is it? John Exter that they had for a little while too. He became K-Rod now. That's probably K-Rod. But all right, that's what you want.
I guess the Cubs will be facing the Cubs defense.
Yeah. Which prospect, what position, young players, etc., would the Cubs going to be focused for too?
Just Chris Bryant and just all the power that he had throughout the minor class to see double play. He had a big push. Kind of getting up to the ranks of most of them up to a year.
Yeah.
Apparently, I do Chargers is still, you know, fairly well, so it'd be like, you know, nice to see them continue to do well in that another part of the outfield.
No.
The subs along with Fowler. Like we all know, there's own Castro out there. And then Alcantara, who came up last year.
Alcantara.
Exactly. That guy, he did well. He started off, but he did kind of fade a little bit down the stretch, where he just, you know, where he's like most rookies.
Yeah, it'll happen. I think it's his opponents get both on you, but you kind of struggle a little bit. That's one thing I think Twins fans need to understand. One of the Danny Gittan and Kenneth Farr was great last year, but now there's a whole lot for the pitchers. So, you know, what to do with them. So, one thing that I like about the Cubs, they've also got when they traded Barger last year, they played the A's top prospect, Addison Russell.
Yeah.
He's also a shortstop. So now they've got a redundancy at a position that often a premium. So if they are playing this year, find out that they don't like what's going on, kind of play or whatever, they have one of the best trades to pick up. They can either go Castro or Russell and probably get other elite talent. So
they have quite a couple of options there and be able to inspire, you know, more players to buy one. So they're doing very well too in the last
That's too weird. It's not even through the draft. It's mostly international free agents. So that says something really nice about scouting too, which is terrific.
Yeah, probably about a couple of years, right?
Thank you.